Last week I went to the stage show Godspell. Written in the 1970s, it sets the Gospel of Matthew to music. Debut songs like Day by Day, Oh Dear Lord. Who knows the song? Come on. You know the song? Yeah, 70s people, right. Well, it was produced by Dilworth and included girls also from Diocesan and our daughter. And they integrated the humour and the style of New Zealand's multicultural environment. Dilworth is a boarding school that only accepts boys from straitened familial circumstances. That's the words in the trust deed. I mention this because as a parent of a cast member, I attended the thank you speeches following the finale. Jesus, also known as Hato, spoke last. He talked about the community, particularly the community of the disciples' band of young people. Without knowing it, Jesus, Hato, concluded with an adaptation of a biblical verse. He said, "I no longer call you friends, for we are now family." Family can be a loaded word, used to erect a fence around nuclear heterosexual norms and reject outsiders. Yet it can be also used as a word that breaks down barriers and includes outsiders. And I can think of three instances of this latter sense. It was used by the gay community in the 1970s to express their solidarity with each other in the face of persecution. It is used by the Maori community with the word whānau to encompass all relations and relationships, the good, the bad, and the beautiful. And it was also used to describe the early church. The early church was made up of people who didn't fit into the normative understanding of family. Jesus spoke out against and flouted the rules of the patriarchal family, which was the dominant familial pattern. His movement attracted people who didn't fit with patriarchy or whom patriarchy had despised or rejected. So women who didn't want to marry or were abused in marriage or widows found the movement a safe place to be. Those who were considered sexually other, like eunuchs or prostitutes, also found it to be a safe spiritual place. So too for slaves, disenfranchised younger sons, and rebels. To use the words of Dom Crossan, the early church was a collection of nuisances and nobodies. They were a bunch of misfits following the teaching of a misfit. As the verse Hato alluded to infers, the early church came to see themselves as more than just disciples following a master, but as friends. And they came too in time to see themselves not just as friends, but as brothers and sisters in a newly constituted family. It was, though, a radically different type of family. In this new family, they would have no longer a need for a patriarch to order them about and demand obedience. They now only had one parent, and that parent was God. They struggled to develop participatory leadership patterns to reflect their brotherly, sisterly equality. And ultimately, with the rise of monarchical episcopacy, they failed. I mention all this because in this early participatory church, the notion of Trinity developed. As with any idea, Trinity was shaped by experience. In this case, the experience of a church community as it supported, interacted, and cared for each other. Beginning with their earlier experience of knowing God in and through the ideas and person of Jesus, and feeling this Jesus presence still with them even though he died, as they ate and met and talked together. They developed a very radical notion of God as communion in the midst of their community. In this original development of Trinity, God was relational, God was multiple, and God was ineffable, meaning God was not bound by any form or metaphor or speech. God was a way for them to be in community together. However, that notion, like with participatory leadership, got caught up and ultimately subverted by the predominant cultural pattern of hierarchy, which demanded that God be the ultimate father or patriarch, and Jesus in spirit, also divine, form a little triumvirate of power and glory to rule the universe. Monarchical hierarchy triumphed over participatory community. Also last week was the annual Rob Lectures at the University of Auckland. This year, Dr. Alison Gopnik, a naturalist philosopher, spoke about what we can learn from children under the age of 5. And one of the more interesting experiments seen on video was when an assistant brought a complicated toy into the room and handed it to a 4-year-old and left. The 4-year-old then spent half an hour exploring that toy and what it could do. This was compared with the same assistant bringing the same toy into another room, handing it to another 4-year-old, but this time explaining that if you squeeze one part of it, the toy would honk. The child then spent half an hour honking the toy and failing to find out that it did anything else. Sometimes I think that's what the church has done to God. We've told people that God is like a toy that honks, or maybe we're the toy that honks. You squeeze, God honks. Whereas I think God is far bigger, far more interesting than any one depiction, any one formulation. That's why I like the idea of Trinity, of God as a communion in which we are participant, as God as ultimate mystery. A number of my progressive colleagues, not all with American accents, are privately dismissive of this notion of Trinity. If God is simply 3 monarchical beings who share socks and spend time working out schemes how to defeat evil and save the world, then they might have a point. But if, in the words of Carter Haywood, God is the power of mutual relation, if God is not a being but a transformative way of relating, then I want to embrace a very big concept like Trinity and have it embrace me. For Trinity points to the dance rather than the dancers, the love rather than the lovers, the communion rather than the communicants, into which we're all invited. And in this notion, I capture a glimpse of mutuality, the mystery of it, and its power to change the world for the better. This mystery and power were discovered by those early Christians as they shared bread and wine, their lives and their hopes. God was experienced in communion in their midst. This morning we will baptize 2 young children, Lara and Vinicius, into that communion. Every child, as you know, is welcomed here, regardless of belief or the beliefs of their parents, because the love called God unconditionally embraces us all. Yet that said, the love called God that we believe in is known in the mutuality of community. In order to experience the fullness of God, we need each other. We need to practice mutuality. We need to walk the self-giving, other-affirming way of communion. And then, day by day, we'll be known in God and God in us.